the Nashville Tea Company or Sweet Tea Company, it is very heavy peach aroma, which is nice.
Sure.
But let's try the Twisted. Meh. Like, it's kind of there, but it's...
It almost tastes kind of chalky at the end.
Yeah. It's like they used peach something, but maybe not peach.
Like freeze-dried peach powder or something like that. I don't know. That's just the vibe I'm getting off of this.
Some sort of synthetic peach whatever. Actually, like this one less even than the original.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this at all. I think this would have to be super iced down in order to...
I think this would have to be about the seventh one you have to enjoy it. So
yeah, because at that point, nothing's going to matter. Okay, what do you want to...
It's a one, yeah.
Yeah. That's a little disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the first one was going to be the basement or the base, you know, but...
Yeah. No,
they managed to...
Well, now moving on to the Nashville Sweet Tea Peach Tea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the aroma is like so overwhelming, good, right? Yeah. Like fresh peaches.
So it's sweet tea with a little bit of like, you know, if you poured some of the syrup from my canned peaches,
sure,
into a glass of sweet tea.
Sure. Yeah, it is really viscous. It's even more viscous than the original.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're doing another one of good old boy Dave's favorites.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that is a Summer of Questionable Decisions episode.
Yeah.
So what the genius that is good old boy Dave came up with today was...
I have that recorded now.
Well, yeah. He got some twisted tea in various flavors.
Yep.
And then from the grocery store, he picked up some cans of... local sweet tea.
Non-alcoholic tea.
Non-alcoholic, yeah. That matched the flavors of the twisted teas. And we've been doing side-by-side tastings of what the twisted tea is, what the regular tea is, and then we've been zhuzhing a little with vodka just to give it that alcoholic effect.
Yeah.
Now, it's not spot on, one-to-one ratio, but it's close enough. And even though the twisted tea is malt-based and we're adding a little vodka to it, it's still giving us that similar alcoholic-ness to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so right before the break, we were talking about the peach tea variety, both twisted and non-twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And the twisted peach tea, we rated a 1.
It was our least favorite so far.
So now, in talking about the Nashville sweet tea peach tea...
It's pleasant. Like, I would probably just have the regular Nashville sweet tea or maybe even the sunshine tea, the half and half, right? Okay. This peach tea, though, is pleasant. It's very nice. It's nice little bit of peach flavor that the aroma, and let me say this, maybe the aroma on this one was the best so far.
Okay.
Because it just, the peach comes out.
Sure.
And you know, peaches smell great, right?
Oh, they do.
Um, but the flavor was, it was okay.
The flavor didn't match the aroma.
Right. I think. So I, like I said, drinking, I would take one of the others over it, but smelling, oh yeah.
Okay.
A minute.
Okay, fair. So what do you want to rate the peach tea on its own?
The unadulterated peach tea? Yeah, it's a 3. Yeah.
A 3. Okay. Now we're going to zhuzh up a little.
Yeah, a little tater juice.
Okay. And so for me, it cuts it a little. Yeah, and it makes it more equal in texture to the twisted tea.
Yeah. This one, it's like the sunshine tea in that it just sort of cuts through some of the sweetness and the fruit flavor a little bit, turns it into an adult beverage.
Yeah, you know? But I don't know that it does anything else to it.
It's
not supposed to, but
or anything.
Yeah,
but I think it is still far superior to the twisted tea version, which better tea, better peach flavor. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit cleaner spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get a better result.
Okay.
So I think it stays a 3.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Last but certainly not least.
Raspberry.
There's the raspberry. Yes. Now, in pouring both of them, the color, again, very similar. I think if anything, then the peach tea raspberry tea is a little redder.
Well, let's keep in mind too now, so this is the first one of the non-alcoholics where we're had to veer away from the Nashville sweet tea.
Right. Well, it's the only one, but yes, we're veering away, but still it's got a redder, I mean, you can it looks like natural. It's a raspberry.
Yeah.
Right, like it would be right with it. Okay, but tasting the raspberry twisted.
No major aroma.
This one's weak, very thin.
Weak raspberry flavor with a hint of tea.
Okay.
It's definitely
watery.
It's very watery. But it's better than the peach version because it's the peach version had a little bit of a sort of an offness about it.
And this one isn't as off.
Yeah, it's not as off.
Okay. So this is in 2 territory.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think we could go 2 on this dog.
Okay. So overall, and this isn't really completely surprising to us.
No.
Because we had low expectations of the Twisted Tea.
Now, I thought we weren't going to get out of the ones.
Now, granted, Twisted Teas are extraordinarily popular. I have talked to a lot of people lately leading up to this episode just to see how many people know Twisted Tea, if they've ever had it, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people say that they like the convenience of it.
Sure.
Because it gives you that little alcoholic zhuzh, but for a lot of people that don't like beer, do not want beer or hoppy things, and don't want a heavier RTD, this is a good go-to because the ABV on it is just right.
Well, and it's also not really carbonated. So if you if you want something that's not, you know, if CO2 kind of bothers you, it's pretty still. So you could just pour it over some ice and.
Sure. And this is very sneaky because to look at it, it just looks like tea. And if it's iced down enough, you're really not going to notice.
And it's 5%. A lot of tea. So you're not going to get lit, dude. You can have a few of them.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Now let's go to the peach tea.
Okay. It smells raspberry-ish. It's a little sweet,
It's very viscous.
Little fake raspberry.
Oh, it's very viscous.
This is not great because this is like all sugar. Like they just loaded this thing with sugar, and so it t- So the raspberry already masks any sort of tea flavor there might be. Mm-hmm. And then all this sugar just blows it up.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would give
this almost feel like there's a balsamic-iness to it too, because my salivary glands are going in overdrive.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so we're rating this a one.
Yeah.
Now, let's see if it does anything better.
With vodka.
With the vodka.
Just makes it taste like cheap raspberry vodka.
Okay.
I mean,
it cuts it.
It cuts some of the sweetness, but it does more to diminish the vodka than the vodka can do to help it. So
okay.
I'm not a fan.
I think this is still a one as well. Like, it really hasn't. Okay.
Yes, it is a one.
Sorry, Mike. Sorry that you're not here to enjoy the raspberry-ness.
We're going to save a raspberry twisted tea for you, though, Mike.
Oh, we're going to save you all the raspberries. Mm. Yes, indeed. Okay, so moral of the story is the craftiness of Armagivering worked in its favor.
If you want to put the work into it and you really want to enjoy better flavor, make your own.
Yeah. And the half and half really was the big winner.
Big winner.
Yes. Well, that's going to do it for us today. And good old boy Dave, thanks so much for another wonderful episode.
I can't wait to feed you more weird things. Maybe even on the show.
Wow. Good old boy Dave, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. The support from our awesome community helps keeping the station diverse and independent. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. Osprey are impressive birds of prey, with a wingspan more than 5 feet across. They primarily eat fish. And this bird is delivering a fresh catch to his mate and chicks. Osprey pairs construct large, open stick nests, and they'll keep adding new material year after year. An established nest can get up to 6 feet wide and 12 feet tall. While the ospreys only occupy the upper portion of this structure, other birds take up residence below. For decades, researchers have observed small songbirds raising their young inside active osprey nests. Cavity nesting species like house sparrows and European starlings seem right at home in the stick structure's nooks and crannies. This unexpected living arrangement is a classic example of a survival strategy called protective nesting. Nesting birds, be they songbirds or raptors, must always be on the alert for egg-eating predators. But with pescatarians in the penthouse suite, the nest's smaller tenants get 24-hour security without ending up on the menu themselves. And if a raccoon dares to approach, they'll make sure the ospreys hear about it. There's nothing quite like a good neighbor. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
Bad news. sharp knives.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. As the climate warms, summer in San Antonio, Texas is getting excruciatingly hot.
growing up in Texas, you always know summers are hot, but over the past several years, it's become a different kind of hot.
Kate Hiseldo, the city's climate adaptation manager, says in 2023, San Antonio experienced 75 days over 100 degrees. This heat makes it expensive to run air conditioners and puts people at risk of serious health issues like heat stroke. And underinvested neighborhoods with less tree cover and more concrete face higher risks.
In those neighborhoods, it is significantly hotter, not just outside, but even in the homes.
The city's Cool Neighborhoods program is now working to lower the temperature in some of the most heat-stressed areas. They're covering streets with coatings that limit heat absorption, planting trees, and building bus shelters to create more shade. They're also helping residents make their homes more energy efficient through weatherization projects. And the city is offering grants to help people cover their roofs in materials that reflect heat from the sun. As climate change brings more extreme heat to San Antonio, these efforts will help keep people cool and safe.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.